Welcome to another episode of the Paper Plane Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Anshi, and I'm the Director of Audio Video Content. Today, we will be interviewing a high school-based therapist from Cooper. Our first question for today is, are there any other organizations that you partake in outside of your job?
Well, I have my full-time job here at Cupertino High School, and then I have a private practice office in downtown San Jose. Part of that I used to work in domestic violence, so treatment of teenage young men who would commit violence in relationship, be arrested, go to juvenile hall, come out, and I would work with them for about 6 months or so. And I also did work with adult male batterers who would abuse their wives. So my private practice is somewhat specialized in domestic violence, but it's largely a general practice where I see adults and teenagers. With somewhat a specialty in teenage young men. I've sort of acquired a kind of specialty in that area. I work for an organization in the music community called Backline. They provide mental health resources to musicians, production folks, anybody behind the stage or sound that need help with mental health resources. The music industry is pretty complex with people being on the road a lot, can really wreak havoc on a relationship, so mental health resources are really in high need there as well. There's also a lot of substance abuse issues that show up in that population, so that keeps me interested as well.
Thank you for that. Our next question is, are there any questions or concerns that most students come up to you with that have been highly popular in the high school community?
By far, the two biggest issues that come up in my office are anxiety, worry, stress, you know, that whole package, and depression. And they often show up together, kind of flip sides of a coin. So it could be I'm having trouble going to sleep because I just can't turn my mind off. I'm so anxious about things that I can't stop thinking about them. How do I get past that? Or maybe test anxiety, social anxiety, even to the level of panic attacks. That's common for me to see in the course of a week here. But also depression, trouble waking up, trouble coming to school, staying at school, maintaining interest and motivation in school. Those are by far the two biggest issues I see here.
Are there any specific signs and tells that students come in here with that you can immediately tell that something is going on or that they have a worry?
Well, there's obvious ones. If I'm somebody's at my door crying, that's pretty clear that that's, you know, a dramatic presentation that somebody's going through something pretty intense. Agitated, either angry, irritated, or just in a state of panic, not being able to think, not being able to calm down. Sometimes it can actually feel like you're dying if you have a panic attack. That's that extreme. Your heart's racing, palms are sweating, you can't breathe, hyperventilation's going on. So those are pretty obvious presentations. The ones that are a little more, as you call them, tells that are less obvious would be maybe I'll get a message from a teacher or administration saying, you know, I haven't seen this student all week, or they used to be so engaged in class and now they're not saying much and they seem withdrawn. So isolation, going inward and withdrawing are some very common things I see. Also, you know, from teachers, hey, this student has just left my class. They said they were going to go to the bathroom, but I haven't seen them for the past half an hour. And sometimes the student will end up in my office because that wasn't really the bathroom that was going on. It was something else. So they were worried. They were anxious. Something happened at home last night, or something happened on the drive to school. It's just kind of a change in sort of typical mood that you would see with someone that's very indicative of something going on in a student's life.
When you notice some of these more subtle signs, how do you usually bring it up with the student? Like, how do you make it a topic of conversation?
Great question. The first thing I do always, and I often advise students this if they're having conflict either at home or with their friends or romantic partner is empathize first. So, hey, I see that you're very upset right now. Let's just maybe just have a seat for a second. You don't even have to talk right now. Let's just kind of sit together. And when you're ready to talk, let me know what's going on, because it seems like you're going through a lot right now. And I'm happy to talk about it in whatever level or whatever way you want to when you're ready. So it's I'm providing a space at the student's pace, and also just letting them know I'm not here to expect a certain response at any time. I'm here with whatever you've got to say whenever you're ready to say it, and I'm here to try to help understand what it is. So empathy first before I do anything.
That's good. Feeling comfortable in the environment is always a good way to start and to get someone to maybe speak their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a specific example that you've encountered in the past that you're willing to share? Something that maybe like others can relate to?
One of the more common issues I see here would be someone, a student coming in who's really worried about not having done well on the test. They just got a test back. And what can often happen is this sort of domino effect of, I didn't do well on this test, which means my grade in the class is gonna be below a level I want it to be, which then means my GPA is gonna be less, which then means my potential colleges and future is gonna be affected by that. So it goes from one seed and blossoms out into this huge issue. And I think letting students know you're not alone in that. I see this kind of thing come up a lot, where somebody, and it's very common for us humans when we're stressed to catastrophize or go to make something that, you know, maybe later on is going to look small, but right now it feels huge. So one, kind of normalizing that's something sometimes we do as people. We take something and blow it up into something catastrophic. And I have seen other people do that too, who have ended up doing quite well. So there isn't only one outcome here. There's many different ways this could go. So that's one way I would answer your question there.
Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next, I would like to talk about the different resources that students have at school and at home. So are there any specific resources that you recommend at school for students who struggle with their mental health?
Sure do. Yeah, I'm very happy to be able to say we have a wellness center now at Cupertino High School. This is the first year that we've had that. And I've been here 24 years. When I started, there was me and one other person, so about one and a half to two, because one of us wasn't full-time, that would be me, therapist on campus. And now there's two of us with the general population, two in the special ed population, and work exclusively with cases there. There's a wellness center, there's a couple of school psychologists. So we have a lot more resources now than when I first started, and it's great. The wellness center is a place where you can go and you can just kind of chill by yourself and have alone time if you just want somewhere on campus that's quiet and you need to think through some things. Or you can talk with somebody in there. There's actually a woman who will greet you in there. And she's what we call, among other things, she triages what's going on. So if it's a crisis, she'll get a hold of me or the other therapist that we have here at school. Or if she doesn't think it's at that level, maybe she'll kind of send an email to a number of different people in the administration, say this student is going through some things. When you get a chance, maybe check in with them. So there's all the way from immediate attention to this isn't urgent, but maybe a follow-up would be good. So the wellness center is one. The two therapists that I mentioned, myself and Denise Salem is the other therapist right next door. We're available. We're both here every day. Denise is here every day except Wednesdays. I would also say that, you know, any teacher or any trusted adult is a resource. If you know someone and you feel any connection or they seem trustworthy to you, that's a great resource, because teachers refer to me all the time, or it doesn't have to be me, they could refer somebody to anybody else. on campus that whatever the problem is, they might be able to help address. So you don't have to keep things to yourself is really the big message I have is don't hold on to your suffering. I mean, there's a saying that says a problem, you know, shared is a problem halved. You know, if you talk about something, you've actually now increased the container to be able to hold that issue. So,
okay. How do you think the school environment specifically impacts students' mental health?
Another issue that comes up in here a lot, students consistently tell me that compared to other people they see in their classes, they don't seem like they're doing very well. Now, that could mean I'm not getting the grade they seem to be getting, or I don't seem to be emotionally or cognitively operating at the level that everyone else is. There's something wrong with me. So I think that's part of the school environment. When you're going through high school, and this can go even into college, you're working with you're trying to figure out your identity. Who am I? What do I believe in? What do I want to do with my life? What am I all about? And if you're not quite settled in that, which you're not supposed to be when you're a teenage person, you're supposed, that's what's in flux, the who am I. There's a tendency to look outside yourself for, okay, maybe I should be like that, or how are they doing? Maybe I should be doing what they're doing. So an environment where everyone is comparing each other to one another with certain criteria, mostly around here, GPA and grades, it almost always ends up with anxiety, because there's always going to be somebody doing better than you are. So it creates a lot of anxiety in folks around here.
How do you think the home environment maybe makes that feeling a lot stronger within students, or how do you think that in a different way affects students' mental health?
I think there's a lot of families that look more and assess how a student's doing more based on numbers than how they're actually engaged in school. So in other words, as long as you're bringing home straight A's, you're doing great. And if that's the only way to measure whether somebody's doing great, they could be sinking very, very low emotionally and psychologically during sort of the maintenance of those grades. So I think if the home life is all about performance and outcome and not really the process of are you having a social life? Are you having any fun? Is there anything you're actually passionate about and desire and are into and really like and what drives you? That's a very different psychological reality than just the grades thing. And I think there's a lot of focus on that around here.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, almost done. Are there any common tips that you give to students that come in with any questions regarding their mental health?
I think one of the first things I try to do is let someone know they're not alone in what's going on, because I think a lot of folks think if I talk about this, someone's going to think I'm really screwed up or I messed up or I'm not somehow keeping things together like I'm supposed to. And so part of what I try to impart on that is, you know, there's two things basically developmentally that teenagers are mostly dealing with and that I hear a lot about in here. One's identity. Who am I? And what do I want to do with my life? What do I believe in? What are my values? So identity. And the other is intimacy. So how do I relate deeply to another human being, and how do I deepen my friendships? I don't mean intimacy with regard to sex, but intimacy as in deeper connection with other people. So in order to have, and they both riff off of each other. If you know who you are and you're developing this uniqueness of yourself, you will have deeper connections with other people. And you can't really have deep connections unless you really know who you are. So they kind of mirror each other in a way. And so usually there's a lot of anxiety and instability in identity and intimacy. You know, when you're in high school, and that's normal to have that. You're not supposed to know who you are and have these stable relationships that are going to necessarily last forever. You just do the best you can day to day and struggle with what's on your plate and try to do the best you can with it. I mean, that's in one way or another, that's the message that comes across for me most of the time. Another would be you're not, and this would, I hold myself to this too, I'm not as bad as my worst session, and I'm not as great as my best session. I'm not the best, and I'm not the worst, because I think, again, human beings in crisis and stress tend to catastrophize and think this is the worst thing that's ever happened, and my life is useless from here on out. And I think perspective, which time eventually gives you, but bringing things back to a larger perspective when talking to a student is really important, because we can get really tunnel vision when we're stressed. I don't mean that just as students, but just as humans. We can get really this sort of pinpoint focus on this one thing is all that matters, and it's not. It changes with time.
Are there any specific techniques that you tell students that you think work best or that you've seen work best with high school students especially?
Related to my last answer, I think not believing everything you think is a really important idea. Just because you think something doesn't mean it's actually accurate or real. So being able to question your thoughts and have, you know, critical thinking of your own cognitive structure, what your thoughts are, just kind of a frame on reality, and be able to kind of know that you can actually change that frame over time. It's not just going to stay the same way. So talking about thoughts as not a concrete reality, but a sort of ongoing river of activity that you can let flow by and change over time. What else? I think I forgot the question.
Any specific techniques that you recommend for high school students regarding their mental health?
I do consistently seem to be saying this to folks, which is, it relates to my last thing about thoughts. Let your mind kind of go for the first hour when you wake up, and let it go as negative as it wants to go, but don't believe anything it says. Because I know a lot of students are like me. When I first wake up, I just have this litany of negative thoughts. Oh, no, I have to do this today, and I have to do that today, and that's not going to work on my, and that's going to be stressful, and what about this? And I just let my mind go. Just let it riff. Just let it say all that negative stuff for about the first hour, and just kind of don't get hooked on it. Because if you hook into all those negative feelings, you're going to have a lot of dread and anxiety going into the day. So the mind is this kind of thing that creates evolutionarily ways to keep us alive and survive. So it makes up the worst case scenarios and the, oh my, oh God, what ifs a lot. And that's kind of a natural way the mind works. You don't have to believe it or get hooked into it, though. Just let it go. And let it riff on itself for about the first hour of the day, and then it tends to calm down a little bit after that.
Okay. I think that's all for today's podcast. Thank you to Mr. Hickey for coming out and being a part of it. And thank you for tuning in. Make sure to follow Stress Free Teens on Instagram.